This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
I'm not afraid to die. talking.
3CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan, International Women's Day special with Sally. Out of the Pan first broadcasts noon through one every Sunday afternoon, currently Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time, and sometimes when the time zone says it is, on Australian Eastern Standard Time. Out of the Pan, as does all of 3CR, broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nations. And we pay respect to elders past, present and emerging. Hello to any Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, First Nations people tuning in from whichever lands you are on. And we acknowledge that all the lands were stolen and never ceded. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. I'm Sally Goldner. I use the pronouns she and her, and welcome to this special on International Women's Day. So I'll be holding off on regular news today to do this double special because, well, it is a bit of a celebration. It is the celebration for Out of the Pan's 21st birthday. This show first aired, said the accountant on the autism spectrum, who knows dates, 5th of March 2005. So the show is fully legal, virtually anywhere in the world. There you go. And some will question that, some won't. I'm not, but that's another story. And so it's a double celebration today where I thought I'd do, as per the guide on the 3CR website, a bit of a sort of history of women's issues. Dare I say it will be a potted history, and I thought, no, it's a panned history. Yes, 21 years of puns and you're still listening, don't know how you do it, but we can balance the proverbial light and shade as we talk about important things. So definitely, yes, this show, as it says on the program guide, a pan full of women's history, 21 years of Out of the Pan on this International Women's Day 2026. Now, I can't claim to give it a comprehensive history by any means. There's not enough time to do that in an hour. So it's maybe a little subjective on some of the things that I mention. But so it's, as I say, it is really just things that came to mind over 21 years and some of my involvement prior to that in queer and communities, with obviously a focus on gender and, you know, sexual orientation as well. So a very, milestone issue. And I do want to thank, before I get into things, the peeps at 3CR who have signed a lovely card with the 3CR International Women's Day picture on the front and a hand-designed logo of some sort inside, hand-designed, put together. Thank you all very much for that. That very much brightened my International Women's Day. Well, I suppose, how far do you go back through women's history? Depending on your belief system, I suppose we could go back. It might surprise some people, but no, the world wasn't always Judeo-Christian or Abrahamic religions. And prior to those belief systems, there was Wiccan and paganism, which certainly, it would appear, could seem to treat women a lot more equally at a minimum, and some might say even with a greater degree of power and respect that is often sorely lacking in the world, especially it seems today. Things changed. Whether this sort of was a revolution and an anti-revolution, I don't know. But the thing is, it should be remembered that, of course, women's history has been erased from a lot of what is the Jewish scriptures and the Old Testament of the Bible. One of the very uplifting experiences I had was way back in 1998. I went to the Jewish lesbian Passover gathering, which talked about the role of women in the Passover story, which is the exodus of the Jews from Egypt and slavery, and the roles of Miriam, Moses' sister, who hid him in the bulrushes and those sorts of things. And you think, oh yeah, why don't we talk more about that? Gee, who's written the history, I suppose. So there's all those sorts of things. that we need to consider. But certainly that is a very long-term historical factor. And of course, women have been fighting for equality and fairness and respect for years. That's certainly been a long thing. But of course, this program, which focuses on queer issues and in particular out of the pan knowing no boundaries of sex or gender, which therefore obviously covers trans and gender diverse issues, is very, very important. And what we in English language and in many parts of, we'll call it the Anglo-Saxon type of world, now refer to as trans and gender diverse, or transgender diverse, non-binary and similar, all these sorts of things, has been around in many, many cultures around the world, and it's only colonialism, cultural supremacist type of attitudes, all those sorts of things that this whole trans and gender diverse is a new thing. And of course, trans and gender diverse and real allies sit there and cringe. And in a very timely way, I would draw people's awareness to a YouTube that I'll put in the link. And apparently there is a book as well on some trans history, which talks about this in a more recent times. But of course, we know trans and gender diverse people under the appropriate cultural and linguistic names have been around for ages. And it was interesting about 3 or 4 years ago, when there was, we'll say, debate about celebrating LGBTIQA+ in Australian rugby league, that some people were going, oh, Samoan culture doesn't recognise LGBTIQA+. And then you think, well, what about the Fafaini? That was some cisgender white men saying that. Surprise, surprise. So obviously, gender has been around for years, but then we of all sorts, and there's been various power plays and all sorts of things. But focusing on some aspects of more recent history, of course, there's been debates about trans inclusion in feminist movements forever and a day. And what struck me as interesting is I clearly remember in the 1970s and 80s, and from what I've been able to gather, the great writer Judith Butler has commented on this, that in the 70s, the feminist movement seemed vehemently against any idea of anything to do with what I will call sex or gender being biological. And it was, no, it's because of nurture, and if we didn't nurture women to be, in inverted commas, compliant or passive or soft or whatever else, and we didn't nurture men to be this way, we wouldn't have a problem. Yet, interestingly, of course, nowadays, and I'm going to say small content note, we hear the term biological women to deny the virtual existence of trans women, also biological men, those sorts of things which focus on so-called biology. And of course, we know with variation of sex characteristics, where there are at least 50 variations, that there is no such thing as just two sexes. There are not, to be precise, roughly 4.15 billion so-called male sex bodies with male sex characteristics, 4.15 billion with female, etc. So we know there's been all sorts of diversity through history, and it's interesting how suddenly the argument changes. But the real issue for trans and gender diverse people is denial we exist, denial we're in the numbers, denial of our experience, blaming us for our experience, and so on. And this does fit into a debate on International Women's Day, because there is debate, if I can call it that, but I would have to be honest if I was being subjective and say faux debate about inclusion of trans women. And of course, trans women are women, trans men are men, and people who across the gender kaleidoscope, using terms such as, but not limited to, non-binary, agender, genderqueer, and many, many more, also exist in their way. And there's a great resource that you can look up, put out by the fabulous broadcaster in America, PBS. There's a great PBS in Melbourne too, because we celebrate community radio wholeheartedly. But it's the PBS Interactive Gender Map, and it looks at the history of gender all over the world. So if you pop that into your search engine right now, if you are able to do so safely, and please don't do that while you are driving or in charge of a vehicle of any sort or using heavy equipment, a map of gender diverse cultures, and it has been updated in an ongoing way, which is a good thing. They call it a Two Spirits map, as because they're based in what is now called North America. But I'm going to go to Nigeria, which tells me when I click on the little pin that that there are hundreds of cultures recognise multiple genders, and this is but one of them. The Mino or Benin had the Kingdom of Dahomey, now Benin, had an all-female regiment of female warriors called the Mino, unmarried and childless women who were thought to have masculine or aggressive traits. So there we go. So once we start breaking down into things like sex, sex characteristics, gender identity, gender expression, we know, of course, there's so much more than that. Let's go to Argentina. The travesti, a person who was born male, has a feminine gender identity and is primarily sexually attracted to non-feminine men. So on we go. So of course trans and gender diverse people have existed everywhere. Unfortunately, this doesn't mention on what is now called Australia. It doesn't touch on some lands, and I of course will not speak with authority because it's not my lived expertise, sister girls and brother boys. But New Zealand mentions the Waka Wahine, and there's also, of course, the many other cultures that are mentioned throughout the Pacific, the Mahu in Hawaii as well. So, of course, trans and gender diverse have been around. There's been all sorts of genders for years, that's the first place we need to start with. And I will, on this day, say hello to someone who's been much a part of the 21 years of Out of the Pan, roving reporter. Good to hear from you. Happy International Women's Day. Yes, may they all continue to be difficult and ruffle the feathers of those men who see them as one-dimensional people. We can do that. Roving would like to dedicate this day to all the women elected by the current conflict who are ignored by our Western media. And on the last comment, you've said, thankfully, tongue planted firmly in cheek, wishes to a certain, I'll say them possibly former commercial radio presenter, and liberation from a nasty male. Yes, lots of debate about that one. And I suppose that's an issue about how some women feel that if they're compliant to men, that they'll get on the inside. Well, you know, there's a long-standing debate. Do you create change from inside or outside the system? And, the thing is, there's no one answer to that. It's non-binary. It can depend on the system, the time, the circumstances, whether you create change from inside or outside, and many, many factors. And, sometimes you can, create change from inside. Sometimes you need to go outside, and sometimes, of course, each person could be doing seamlessly moving from one to the other. So there's a bit of an overview to start with. I'm going to pop into some debates about trans-inclusive feminism and some progress of anti-discrimination law that covering gender identity and sexual orientation, to use the exact legal language, obviously helps gender identity and gender expression and a more inclusive look at gender and a more intersectional look. In the meantime, I thought today I'd play a song from two women who, in my opinion, have always been come across as pretty strong, amazing, authentic women, and that's Vicar and Linda from their Two Wings album of some years ago. Well, be careful what you pray for. 3CR 855M, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, out of the Pan International Women's Day Special with Sally.
Pan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high-quality, locally made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
LGBTIQA plus people, that's come from a large history of people standing up and acting up for our rights and our communities.
Talking queer Pacifica, talking about us.
You know, this very like violent act of like hatred and bigotry towards trans people, where they demonise the image of trans people, especially trans women.
For working class queers, for queers of colour, for those who are poor and homeless, the struggle is continuing.
3CR, stay tuned, stay radical.
DigiTube, people, place, language. Connecting stories, culture and language across Australia. Contribute your content in digitube.com.au. Sign up for a free account and select your options for streaming, download and broadcast promotion.
A 3CR supporter.
Indeed, thank you for supporting 3CR, whether you're a subscriber, whether you donate, whether you sponsor us like Go Kindly. Thank you to Go Kindly for sponsoring this program. And remember to take that pillow quiz. You're listening to 3CR, 855 AM digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR on demand, out of the pan International Women's Day special with Sally. And a couple of messages in. We're talking media, I suppose. And Melbourne seems to reject the more sensationalist content, regardless of sex or gender. I mean, the show that sort of started, the radio station that started off down here a few years ago, although I did, in fairness, hear a report that it fell apart due to management issues, I don't think really ever took on that it was quite a very sensationalist sort of Sydney style. And, of course, the recent demise of a show in Melbourne, which according to one, now granted it was a poll in The Age, which may not be a random sample, but 99% of Melburnians said they would not listen to that particular commercial radio show that seems to have hit its demise. And hello to Jenny. Thank you for being a part of Out of the Pan for a very long time on this joint 21st birthday of Out of the Pan celebration and International Women's Day celebration. Jenny is enjoying this long weekend with no work. Yes, thank you to unions and union women. I did go to the International Women's Day rally outside Trades Hall at noon on Friday and had the morning with some AS Australian Services Union women. And Jenny's asked a good question, which women in the media, both commercially or otherwise, do you admire and do good work? This is a really good question. I'm going to have to do something which, gosh, I'm a volunteer, I'm not paid to think, Jenny. I know there are some women in media who I really like, but it's just not quite coming to mind at the moment. What is coming to mind is I wanted to talk about the National Organisation of Women Students Associations, which, used at times dubious methods to avoid debate on including trans women. The self-proclaimed fairy grandmother of the Victorian trans community, Julie Peters. Now, there's, not in media, but certainly an amazing woman, recalls the NOWSA conference of 1999, where just as the time came to vote on including trans women, it was, we're out of time, conference over, bye. What is it, filibustering, in a sense? There's a big word for a Sunday on a long weekend. That was a fail. But over time, something shifted. And I remember seeing throughout the 2000s and into the 2010s that debate had long gone and trans women were overwhelmingly welcome, which is, really good. So that's very welcoming to see. But, of course, we can't ignore situation where since 2016, which is where the sort of, pushback is my word against trans. I won't call it backlash because I think it's just, I don't think it is. It's a pushback by concerted forces, the usual suspects, self-entitled elements of religion, sensationalist elements of media, fear-mongering politicians. But it's always interesting that, toxic masculinity parts of politics that oppose trans rights sound like trans-exclusive feminism. So are they really progressive? Is that really progressive feminism? No, it's conservative feminism that's sold out. There is that old adage, of course, in women's issues, saying attributed to author unknown. Author unknown has a lot of sayings, very wise person. Seriously, it's that you can tell who the strong women are. They're the ones pulling other women up behind them. And it's sad that there has been so much history women shutting the door behind them and not pulling people up. And that's, you know, across not just some cis women against trans women, but some cis women against other cis women. Discussion at the union roundtable on Friday, it was where a woman told of a female manager who just didn't do anything on women's issues. It's sort of like the oppressed become the oppressors, as another old saying goes. Not good. The other thing I wanted to go back on and talk about was this nature versus nurture debate, which to me is a furphy, a red herring, a diversion tactic. We just, every individual is who they are. Does it matter how they get there, so long as they're being honest with a person's being honest with themselves and authentic and treating other people with respect, then how someone gets to be their authentic self, because it's nature or nurture or both, is what really matters. And no one needs to be stopping or limiting someone else from being their authentic self. But it's worth talking about some legal aspects here in Victoria. We got some anti-discrimination law protecting women way back in 1977. There should probably be a 50th birthday celebration of that next year. Rhett looks for pen to make note and can't find it. Of course, 50 years, if we're talking birthdays, it is 3CR's 50th birthday this year. The 70s, bring them back. Halcyon days to some extent. But laws protecting LGBTIQA plus, any thereof, didn't hit Victoria until 1995, when we added the attribute lawful sexual activity, which was a hangover after decriminalising consenting sex between assigned male people, my language, which really missed the point, because as many people said, well, if you weren't in a relationship but someone in a workplace said, oh, you're, and I'll just go with gay or lesbian, there's no sexual activity. So, yes, someone can be nasty, abusive, discriminatory in a workplace or in relation to employment, employment generally, accommodation, the areas covered by anti-discrimination law, and it was considered not very useful. And so in 2000, Victoria added sexual orientation and gender identity to its anti-discrimination law. There were all sorts of shenanigans going on there. That time, the BRACS government was a minority in the lower house, needed the support of three independents to govern, one who was centrist and reasonable, but two were, interestingly, at that point, representing the furthest far-flung seats of Victoria, East Gippsland and Mildura, were highly conservative and were pushing up transphobic rhetoric. However, to his immense credit, the then assistant to the Attorney General, Richard Wynne, then member for Richmond, spent 2 days negotiating with one of those people, and with a combination of logic and human decency, managed to get some legislation through to add gender identity. There was also shenanigans where, allegedly, where a Liberal parliamentarian who had been supportive and been an ally then tried to wedge the trans community, a person who we'll just say was a cisgender male. I will not say any more. So that was some progress. It was good by the standards of the time, in that it covered what I'll call all of binary trans. There had been no legislation anywhere in Australia that covered people pre-affirmation. So many trans people go through a period where they will occasionally go out as what turns out to be their authentic gender to sort of get things moving. But, there had been no coverage on any of the state or territory laws that existed up until that point. And six of the other states and territories, the exception was Queensland, who ended up being eighth to get any law in protecting gender identity, had only covered at most, we'll say, post-transition onwards, and some were surgery-based, which, of course, we know that, you need it's that period from the time of realisation through to the whatever the end of your main affirmation, internal affirmation journey is, which may involve surgery, hormones, and may not, is often the challenging period. But gradually those laws have been updated, and we now have a reasonably consistent standard around the country. Birth certificate laws hit Victoria in 2004, unfortunately got caught up with the then Howard government, SIC, the Howard government's ban on marriage equality. And amongst other things, in all fairness, there was unfortunately some lateral hostility and bickering within the trans community with surgery supremacism, as I call it, this idea that, and I'm going to say content note, this idea that you're only a real trans person if you're aiming for surgery or have had it, which is, I think, a very hierarchical nature and only reinforces patriarchy. And it can come from people regardless of how they're assigned at birth or how they're living now. And thankfully, whilst that has dissipated somewhat to my knowledge in Melbourne, I know it's still around and people still have it said to them, which is utterly disgraceful. Everyone's in the trans community is valid of all intersectionalities. I remember a trans woman who at a gathering of discussing relationship issues for trans said she was only interested in men and wanted to be with a man and was almost looked at in a judgmental way for wanting to be, in that sense, heterosexual. Now, that's not right either. Queer, heterosexual, whoever, we all have a right to be ourselves, as I say. So 2004 was very minimalist birth certificate laws, but a complicated situation. And then we began to get movement in the federal at the federal level for trans in 2010, throughout the late 2000s and up to 2013 in the, we'll say, the Rudd and then the sort of Gillard era. And that was, first of all, with some passport reforms, which were not surgery-based, and your gender on your passport didn't have to match the, or the marker on your passport didn't have to match your birth certificate. So what? There's other ways of identifying you as to who you are, which is really good. 2013, we got granted the somewhat flawed and unwieldy sex and gender guidelines that are still good, although sometimes, as happened recently, and this is absolutely outrageous, a computer update suddenly made everyone's records revert to sex assigned at birth. And interestingly, I've had a gender diverse friend in hospital who started at that time. This happened about 2 weeks ago. Suddenly, was being called a woman and she, her again, and it seemed it coincided with this. Although, thankfully, one nurse who didn't, regardless of whether this nurse knew about that, stood up for my friend who prefers, whose pronouns in use of they, them, or he, him. So, yes. And then finally, 2013, right on the end of the Gillard government, two nights before Rudd took back the leadership from Julia Gillard, we got federal anti-discrimination law that was very good on sexual orientation, very good on gender identity, did use the term intersex, which I understood was the best term at the time, but there's been no effort, including under the Albanese era. Surprise, surprise. Is it too difficult to do to update that to variation of sex characteristics? So gradually law reform has given support to trans and gender diverse people, and we have moved forward since then, which is incredibly welcome. Anyway, I've been talking a bit, so I'll have a quick bit of music and grab a breather, and then sort of come back and talk more about progress and perhaps what we can learn from history is also important, which happily came up in the International Women's Day roundtable thingy doodad that I was at for the Australian Services Union on Friday. So sometimes the world can be serendipitous. Here's just some feminine serendipity. On 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan International Women's Day Special with Sally.
We're women, we fight for freedom. We're strong, we fight for peace. We struggle every day to prove our worth. We're women and we're proud to say what we are in ourselves. We've been hiding in the background far too long.
With my sister beside me, I am strong, I am free. when she's with me, yeah. With my sister beside me, I am strong, I am free. She believes in me.
They say united we stand,
together we stand,
divided we fall. They don't understand what we are fighting for at all. We have the strength to overcome whatever
we're
comes our way. Stand up and be guided. Say what you have to say. The sister's beside you.
With my sister beside me, I am strong, I am free. She believes in me.
We build our own changes, of that you can be sure. The time has come for you to come out from behind that door. Open your mind.
With my sister beside me,
I am strong.
Beside me, I am strong, I am free. With my sister beside me.
3CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan Women's Day Special with Sally. And that's Titus and My Sister from way, way back, somewhere in the past, 1993. So yes, we're also having a bit of a historical look at some women's music. As I say, this is the potted history as opposed to the panned history. Or it could be the panned history. It can be both. We can be non-binary pots and pans or something like that. So yeah, things sort of began to roll from a point of view of trans and gender diverse people throughout the 2010s, in the early 2010s, up until, well, around 2016. And, you know, a couple of things happened in 2012. By coincidence, there were two concurrent, campaigns launched, being the Beyond Blue Left Hand campaign, which was featured, you know, sort of took the approach, well, we wouldn't bully someone because they're left-handed, so let's not bully them for being LGBTIQA+, and it was inclusive of all. And also the No to Homophobia campaign, a joint project by three different queer community organisations in Victoria, maybe more, which went out of its way to include bi and trans, which was incredibly welcome. And so it seemed like things were rolling along. But of course, 2016, it was where I think, at least in, I'll stick to the Australian context, that it does seem like there is a linkage to the rest of the world, in that, you know, suddenly, as I say, this pushback came against trans, and obviously it was coordinated. Now, in the Australian context, of course, whilst it seems that those who were against marriage equality realised they couldn't attack gays and lesbians, so they started attacking trans. And in the world context, possibly the same. But of course, we know that it's not just about attacking trans. It is that old saying attributed to Martin Bormann, first they came for, but I was not, so I didn't do anything, etc., etc. And hopefully we have learned from history. I'm not sure, but don't know. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, I think honestly trans people and many others were thrown under the bus by the way that we undertook the marriage campaign in the 2016-17. Some people allege it was a political and almost corporate and big end of town takeover of the grassroots community movement. I've heard that accusation. Do I have proof of it? Not 100%. Have I heard both sides? No. But it certainly seems that we lost our grassroots inclusiveness and took a very conservative picket fence type approach to getting marriage equality. And I think that was a really bad mistake to do that, because it's the old story that you give extremists a millimetre, they'll take an Earth's circumference. And I think trans people have suffered for that since. And although you know, intersex is not about gender. It's still about variation of sex and gender and getting away from the rigid binaries that right-wing, right-wing pressures that exist. And we've seen that intersex get denied as well. So it is about trying to stick together and making sure that, everyone has a say and that if we are, and people don't get thrown under the bus without their consent. One of the better campaigns in the world was Argentina. We were very fortunate to be visited by, in 2014, here in so-called Australia, by an advocate from the Argentine Marriage Campaign, where they got marriage equality in 2011. But they consulted everyone and said, look, we will do this first, but we will not forget anyone else. We won't throw anyone under the bus. And a few years later, Argentina had a trans law passed that was close enough to being like a Bill of Rights. So it can be done inclusively, which I think gives us some hints for the future and why we are not, and why even post-marriage equality, it seems some gays and lesbians are not willing to share power, I think is hugely problematic. But we, of course, have seen this bad backlash that has happened since. And it's, is it as simple as taking initiative to get the power back so we can get more gender equity for all? Somehow we've got to do that. So I want to have a chat about that in the last segment of the show today. And in the meantime, have a listen to a track that keeps the musical variation sort of coming. We've had rock, we've had blues, we've had almost a cappella with light acoustic guitar. Now here's something electronic from Sin and the Vibrant album from way back, I think in around 1999, Yours Is Yours. 3CR 855 AM, 3CR digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR on demand, out of the pan Women's Day special with Sally.
Much more, much more to you. My mistake, my flaw, my mistake, my retake, my heartache. my escape. Double take that we make a fake. My flow, my downfall. Finding me, finding the thought it was much more to you. My mistake, my downfall.
Accent of women.
It seems so obvious to me that if you live in a completely violent cultural milieu, that it's going to translate into every aspect of women's lives.
Accent of women.
What's a border? They don't see it like a big wall right along the
country. People live ordinary lives when they're living in such an extraordinary situation where there are two, where there are armies there and terrorists there and such conflict every single day of their lives?
Accent of Women.
A show by and about women from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds.
On Community Radio 3CR.
Hi, this is Anna Piper Scott, and you're listening to Out of the Pan with Sally Goldner on 3CR.
Don't stop me talking.
Well, you did start me talking around 52 minutes ago, and I have to be out of here in about 7.5 for Freedom of Species and their International Women's Day special. And that is certainly... going to be worth listening to. They've got some tough conversations coming up on as part of vegan, vegetarian and animal rights issues with their guest, Ren. And hi to Liz, who's listening to the show today, as often is the case, International Women's Day coinciding with Chill Out Festival. So I hope everyone up at Chill Out Festival, women and friends, are having a good time. And more messages and answers to messages that I need to respond to. I did get my brain working, Jenny, and women in the media, who do I admire and who do good work. I came up with a quick short list of seven in no particular order. Lee Lin Chin, Ellen Fanning, Wendy Harmer, Sandra Sully, Zoe Daniel, Fran Kelly and Sally Sara were names that came to mind. So there's a few, hopefully, I think, who've done some good work and worked hard. Roving reporter thanks me. Yes, you are part of the 21-year celebration of Out of the Pan Now. We're doing some major networking in about 3 minutes. Roving says that they may have read a letter by Jenny in the Herald Sun this week. Was that yours, Jenny? Let's see if we can get an answer in before the end of the show. It's a bit like a telethon. Can we get more things in by the rest of the show? On a serious note, Jenny has added, with the rise of One Nation, what can we learn about not repeating history again? And from a woman like Pauline Hanson, do we engage with those supporters as it's leading to the lack of social cohesion in some sectors of our society? Well, yeah, this is exactly what I wanted to touch on as we try to wrap up in the last couple of minutes. What can we do to move forward? One of the things that came up was, you know, on the International Women's Day sort of small roundtable-y thing that I was at for the ASU, was what made certain campaigns work, that it did engage with as many people as possible, that it tried to appeal to good values. I mean, to some extent, whilst I am critical of the Yes campaign, it did try to do the right thing, but it's just that it didn't do it well enough. You know, appealing to good values like love and human kindness and fairness is a good thing. Yeah, look, it's sad that some women feel like they've got to sell out and be populist, but I suppose, you know, we see this a lot. I mean, you know that people from minorities who now have sort of got reasonably somewhere, as I say, the oppressed become the oppressors, so maybe we need to call that out and ask direct questions, or at least try and get people getting their thinking going. Do we engage with supporters? I'm always careful about, you know, that one. It's the old, this, what came to mind when you've asked that is, do we tolerate intolerance, is the question. And one of our listeners who may be listening today, Nigel, sent me the tolerance paradigm late last year. And I'm just seeing, yes, it's come up from after the November 16 show last year. Yes, thank God for the search. The paradox of tolerance disappears if you look at tolerance not as a moral standard but a social contract. And if someone does not abide by the terms of the contract, then they're not covered by it. In other words, the tolerant are not following the rules of the social contract of mutual tolerance. And so they've broken the terms of the contract, they're not covered, and their tolerance should not be tolerated. Now, whether that answers your question about engaging, Jenny, I think, you know, it's incredibly difficult. There you go. And yes, Jenny's come back perfectly timed, although I've got to get moving and get out of here. It was Jenny's letter. They're so astute, can't believe it was published. There you go. Well, Jenny on the go as always. So the thing is, I think we have to keep striving. I've had a lot of conversations in the last few weeks, as I may have mentioned, with different people about different things, you know, when a time when things seem so overwhelming and, you know, in the big world, and I have to say in the last couple of weeks, even in my little world, something's left me a bit dispirited about some, what I'm going to call reverse discrimination against women, or subtle discrimination. We can only keep trying to put our own individual kindness and creativity and good energy into the world and contribute directly where we can to fighting challenging issues and being proactive about putting something better in on the wider scale, and learn from history. Some of us, slightly rusty pans still cook reasonably well, is all I'm going to say. And I hope I'm still cooking. Well, I don't know if it'll be for another 21 years, but I certainly hope I can cook on for a bit. And so thank you, everyone, for listening to this Out of the Pan International Women's Day special. I'll take it out today with Wendy Rule from the album Deity, and I think an appropriate track about strong women. Here is some of Artemis. Thanks for tuning in to the Out of the Pan Women's Day special. I'm Sally Goldner. Catch you next week.
Skies of blue, you call me. Kiss the night, I'm awake in moonlight. Dreams question the day. Follow me, I will lead.